well, I'm not really a good swimmer. They're like, she's like, well, that's okay. They've got all these, like, you know, lifeguards that will be there to support and assist you and trainers, and you'll never be alone. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did. I'm really glad I did.
Have you gone scuba diving since?
No, and I will not.
That was this week's guest, Troy Beyer, actress, writer, director, talking about some of the underwater scenes that she had to shoot for our next film, Weekend at Bernie's 2. So if you want to find out why she doesn't want to go scuba diving again, you're going to have to listen to the whole interview. Now hit that beautiful theme music.
It's time to sit down and relax for the good, the bad, and the sequel Q&A with your host, Doug.
Hey there, Doug here. I hope you're doing well. This is such an exciting interview for me. I grew up loving Weekend at Bernie's 2, and I had such a major crush on Troy Beyer. Her character in the movie was so different than the other movies. It usually was like that love interest and everything works out at the end. Her and Andrew McCarthy had such wonderful chemistry on screen. I cannot wait to review this movie with Jamie and our guest Gina. But man, to talk to Troy was so cool. And she worked on some amazing movies. She wrote Baps. You'll hear stories about that, which is such a great movie starring Halle Berry. And she was on Dynasty. We talked about her directing and writing Love Don't Cost the Thing, starring Nick Cannon and Christina Milian. She was a lot of fun. You're going to love her. So without further ado, here is Troy Beyer.
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for your tenacity.
Something like that.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Your patience. Yeah. I'm not sure that that's the word, but yeah. Thank you.
No problem. Well, hey, you're the one that I want to talk to, so I appreciate you taking the time. And I just really want to talk to you because you're one of the first people that I'm going to chat with that has worn pretty much the most important hats when it comes to the filmmaking process. But before we get to that, so where does your story begin? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York City. Well, I was born in New York City, and I lived in New York until I was 11, and then I moved to Idaho.
Idaho. Whoa, so that's a big difference. I live in New Jersey. And,
yeah.
I've driven through Idaho. So, yeah, what was
like? It was definitely cultural shock. It was very jolting. I think that would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
Whoa, what's going on here? This is like a real different pace.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So when was the first time that you were interested in becoming an actor or just being involved in the film industry?
Well, I became an actor at the age of 4. I was on Sesame Street.
No way.
I was one of the original. Yeah, I was the original cast member, one of the original cast members on Sesame Street. And then from there, I went on to do commercials and I did an ABC special of the week. And then I moved to Idaho. And when I was 17, I came back to New York and I decided I wanted to pursue a career in the entertainment industry. So I went back into my acting, but I've never made the conscious decision to be an actor. It's something that I just kind of fell into at a very early age. And for a long time, I thought it was all I could do. So it's all I did.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. You're on Sesame Street. I'm a huge fan of that. My daughter is 7 months and she's starting to, we don't want to watch too much TV, but we put on some episodes. So I'm going to have to try to find some from that first season and spot. Yeah, I love Jim Henson and everything he's done. So that's so great.
Yes, amazing talent. Yeah, really great.
Yeah. So at 17, so I don't want you to say how old you are, but so what was your first job that you had acting after that you remember?
So first of all, I'm very happy to say I'm 54. I love being 54. I have no shame in my game. I've earned every single month of this life. So,
nice.
No problem there. But, I came back and I started doing Knox Landing. That was my first gig.
Okay. IMDb has that right. I know you were in things before that, but that's the first thing they have, I guess, maybe in your on there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I started doing a Knots Landing and then from Knots Landing, I went on to Dynasty.
Yeah. Which is pretty amazing early on to be on two great shows. And then you're in three episodes. It has on Knots Landing and about 21 or 22 in Dynasty. So series regular. That's great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a great experience. And then I went on to do some other films. And then I just decided I want to have the kind of role that I want for myself. So no one was offering it to me. So I started writing it myself. And that's when I wrote my first movie, Bap.
Yeah. Where did you come up with the idea for that? Because that's such a great movie.
Thank you. It was kind of my life story because I lived in Harlem for a while.
Okay.
And then when I lived in Idaho, I was like one step up from living in a trailer park. So I had this very impoverished upbringing. And then when I got to Los Angeles, I moved into a friend's home in Beverly Hills. And there were staff and cooks and nannies and, you know, more than one fork on the table. Where I come from, you're lucky if you can find a clean fork, you know. And during this experience, I'd sit at the table and I'm like, there's two forks on the table. Which one do I use? I don't know, you know. And, you know, the scene with the bidet is a true scene. I went into the bathroom. I wasn't sure which one to use. And, of course, I was curious about the one I didn't recognize. There we go.
Yeah. So when you wrote that, while you're writing that movie, do you have like an idea? Like what year did you write that movie?
I wrote that movie in 1996. I wrote it in 7 days.
Whoa.
Yeah, it just was really ready to come out of me. So it was fun. It was great.
And did you write that with like people in mind? Like when you're writing those characters, you're like, oh, you know what? Halle Berry would be great for this role, or Martin Landau would be perfect for this role.
No, I wrote it with the, that's what I was saying. I was not pleased with my selection of roles as an actress. So I decided to write my own role.
Yeah.
And I wrote that role with Troy in mind. I was supposed to play that Halle Berry part.
Oh, okay.
But my acting, my reputation as an actress was not as, you know, glamorous as Halle Berry's. And I couldn't get the film made, but Halle was able to get the film made. So I stepped back and let the powers that be do what they know how to do. And they did a great job. I'm glad it was her. She's fantastic in it.
Yeah. And Robert Townsend directed it, which is, he's great.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it was, Ruth Carter did the costuming. She's fabulous. She just won an Academy Award. So it was great. It was a great time. Great crew, great cast.
She just won for Black Panther?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah. Right. So I'm actually, I'm excited. I haven't been behind the camera in a while, and I just finished writing a film called Deadbeat Mom, and it's kind of like BAPS, but not. So I'm really excited. I'm hoping I can get Ruth to come and throw me a bone here.
Yeah.
By doing the wardrobe, you know?
Yeah. So you do BAPS, and you have, you know, you wrote it, Robert Townsend directs it, and then the next year you wrote another feature, and you directed and starred in it. So how was that experience,
right?
Like having your hands like all over all facets of it?
You know what? I loved it and I was fearless. And here's the thing in retrospect, had I known what I now know, I don't think I would have done it. But you see, I do a lot of things in my life because I don't know that I can't do them. So I just do them. I just always assume I can do whatever I set my mind to doing. And boy, I tell you, that's a tall order to be a writer, director, and actress. It was pretty intense, but it happened. And the reason I decided to direct is I really wanted to have control over the film, including the casting. And I wanted to cast myself. And so I did. And Padgett Brewster is also in it. And an actress named Randy Ingerman. Yeah.
So that's great. So you're able to really make those all those decisions so that's good.
Yeah, right. The buck stops here. It starts and stops with the director for the most part.
Well, that's great. And then we'll go back to Weekend at Bernie's in a second because I want to talk about Love Don't Cost a Thing. Because I remember I saw that in the movie theaters when I was in high school and I was on a date. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. But no, that was such a cool movie. The cast. You look at some of the people that are on that went on to do so many great things. Nick Cannon, Gina Million, Steve Harvey, Cal Penn, Kenan Thompson. And there's definitely people I'm obviously leaving out. But how did you come up with, did that get presented to you to like, because that's a remake, right? Of Can't Buy Me Love.
Yes. And it did get presented to me. It was Can't Buy Me Love. And for a while, we had been talking about doing a remake, an urban version of that. And then finally, it just happened. And it was fun. It was really fun. What a great cast, huh?
Yeah, to be able to work with
them. As you said, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And what they've gone on to do is just fascinating. And I think I saw somewhere on your, I think it was on your website, you were on the Steve Harvey Show not too long ago, right?
Yes.
The talk show?
Yeah, right. Right. So I started working. I went back to school to get a degree in psychology. And there was a while that I was working with people who were suffering from heartbreak. So Steve invited me to participate in his morning show and really offer some advice to his listeners. And that was really fun.
Yeah. Catch up, you know. And look where he is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was always big as a comedian, original Kings of Comedy. And then he's just everywhere. You see him on all the award shows. He does it all.
Yeah, he's like the new Dick Clark kind of guy in a way.
He is. Yeah. No. Yeah. Any big show or game show, he's the one that's in charge.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And then so let's take a few steps back. So the reason I reached out to you, which I'm happy I was able to talk to you about these other things, because I had all those questions. So thank you for answering.
Uh-huh.
So when it comes to how did the role in Weekend at Bernie's 2 come about?
You know, it's very interesting. So that part had already been cast, and the actress they had cast, for some reason, it wasn't working out with her. So Robert, the director, reached out to me and Victor Dre, and they asked if I can get on a plane right away to replace another actress.
Wow, so they already started doing it, and it just wasn't gelling with the other actors, probably.
Exactly. So I think she had shot maybe 3 days.
Oh, okay.
You know? Yeah. And they called me. They're like, do you want the plot? I'm like, sure, I do. I'll be right there.
Did you see the first? Were you familiar with the first one?
No. Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, awesome. And how was it working with Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman?
Those guys are so much fun. We had such a great time working together. And just, they're so welcoming. And I just loved it. Victor Dre and the director, Robert, everyone was really fun. It was not one nonstop comedic experience, you know, just like laughing hysterically all day long.
That's great. Yeah. Andrew McCarthy grew up a town over from where I grew up, and he always comes back and does a lot of stuff. He's a really, really nice guy. But yeah, so with that movie, and I wanted to ask you, I reached out to Terry Kaiser, but he was a little, I don't know if he was busy or nobody really got back to me. But so the first one, he does obviously some real acting, and then he dies, and then they're lugging him around for the rest of the movie. With this one, he's like moving around a lot. So what was it like when he was like, when they yell cut, was he like still laying on the ground, or was he like, you know, jumping up and acting normal? And then they're like, all right, let's get ready. And then he falls back down.
No, he jumps up and acts normal and, you know, and then he falls. Yeah, exactly. Falls back down. And then he does it again.
Yeah, yes. It was great that they, at least in this one, they write, you know, when he hears that song, he starts moving. And we were watching, my wife loves that movie, and we were watching it today earlier. And when you guys are, you know, picking him up and then putting the headphones on him, and he walks right into the ocean, then he freaks out Barry Bostwick when he's on the submarine. It's just such a funny movie. It's a really good sequel.
Yes, it is.
Compared to the first one, a lot of the sequels that we talked about, some are really good, some are really different, but this one just took the first one, the silliness of the first one, and really heightened it. And
I love doing it. It was really fun.
Yeah. Is there any stories you have from like shooting, any like scenes that you really enjoyed like working on or anything like that?
There's one scene actually, because we shot the movie underwater, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of it. So we had to become scuba. We had to get our licenses in scuba diving, you know, and deep water diving. So that was really, that was intense, you know, because I was replacing another actress. So they flew me in, and I had like 48 hours to become certified. And so it was really a lot of, it was challenging, but what was really fun is that, when we did our scenes underground, when they said cut, you know how most people, when you say cut, you can sort of just walk away from the set. Well, we couldn't. So we would just kind of float. in the water. Right. Because no one wanted to go back up 30 feet. We were already down there. It's warm. You know, the lower you get, the warmer it gets. So we kind of just like sit around and hang out and just hope we didn't get burnt on fire coral. But that was really interesting for me, you know. And then just like hair and makeup is flying, swimming over to me to make sure my hair is right underwater. It was really kind of weird.
That is really weird and interesting. So have you ever done any like scuba or snorkeling like before this?
No, absolutely not. I'm terrified. I'm not so much now, but at the time I was terrified of water.
Did they tell you that before the movie? Like your agent, were they like, yeah, just go down there?
Yeah. And I said, well, I'm not really a good swimmer. They're like, she's like, well, that's okay. They've got all these like, you know, lifeguards that will be there to support and assist you and trainers and you'll never be alone. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Yeah. And I'm glad I did. I'm really glad I did.
Have you gone scuba diving since?
No, and I will not. No.
For the movie, when I'm getting paid, I'll do it, but I'm not putting myself in that situation.
Yeah. No, I am definitely meant to be on land, yes. Not in the air, not in the water, on land.
So that's great. That was such a great story. So last question.
Yeah, sure.
So over the years, you've had a lot of credits. Is there a particular role that you like really enjoy playing?
That's a great question. Let's see. I don't think I've had played the role yet that I love the most. I do believe there's one, at least one more role to play for me in this lifetime. Definitely. Yeah, but I don't feel like I don't have a favorite role at all. I really, maybe Dynasty, but.
So what would you say would be like the perfect role for you? Like, is there one that you envision?
Yeah, I'd like to play Lena Horne.
Lena Horne, I'm trying to think who that is.
Yeah, she's a classic singer. I would like to play Lena Horne.
Yeah? Okay. I'll have to check her out. What era?
Yeah, the Lena Horne. I believe it's the 40s. Yeah, the 40s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was just a classic performer, beautiful lady.
Yeah. All right, and then I lied. One more question. So when when you were just starting out, a lot of people I talk to, they're like, you know, Joe Schmo in background, waiter. And then, so you were on shows right away. When did you feel like, wow, I made it? Like
I think I felt like I made it when I was on Dynasty. And the first time I did the red carpet walk, I mean, the paparazzi was just like, wow, I've never seen anything like that. And I kind of looked over my shoulder to see who they were shooting at. And it was me. And I thought, oh my gosh.
That's so good.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even know how to be. I didn't even know. I was like all weird and kind of like geeky. I was geeking out.
You're probably like, am I smiling right? Should I open and show my teeth? Should I not show my teeth? Yeah. Probably a lot of self-conscious stuff going on, potentially that first time when you're not expecting it.
Yeah, I never experienced anything like that before. It was just pretty like, whoa.
Well, that's you answered all my questions because you are right on. Thanks so much for taking the time. And I look forward to hopefully that next project that you're writing
gets
picked up and I could see you again because you're in so many things that I love. John Q. I love Babs.
Oh, wow.
Like my wife, when I was like looking at your IMDb, getting everything prepared over the weekend, she was like, oh, she wrote that? My wife loves that movie.
Oh, tell her I said thank you.
I will.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. So I look forward to seeing a lot
thank
more.
Thank you so much. Yay. Thank you. Thank you for your interest. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no. You're awesome. I love your character in Weekend at Bernie's because most of the time when you see those movies, it's like the love interest and you know it's going to happen. But it was kind of like the relationship between you and Andrew McCarthy was so just real.
Yeah, it was nice, huh? It was really nice. He's such a good guy. Really great guy.
He is. Why, with all the movies that are coming back, like I just interviewed William Sadler who plays he did a lot more than that, but I interviewed him for Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and they're doing the new Bill and Ted movie. So, like, why? There should be a Weekend at Bernie's 3.
Isn't that interesting? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, like three men and a grandbaby. Like, especially now that that's the era of, you know, what's happening. Like, those are the movies that it seems like a lot of the big-time studios want to, like do. I think that'd be so great.
Right.
And bring back your character.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? That'd be awesome. That's interesting. I don't know. What would Bernie, how would Bernie come back this time?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. Terry, really? I think Terry's almost 80. So I know he's still acting. See, he's doing like Broadway. He's doing stuff. He's definitely doing stage work, but no, I don't know. How would he come back? A new kind of music?
Yeah.
Something that's, I don't know,
techno. Yeah, right. It would have to be a new tone, a tune that brings him back.
Yeah. Well, awesome, Troy. Well, thanks so much. And you have a great rest of your night.
Thank you. You too.
Wasn't Troy fantastic? Could you imagine growing up in New York City, being on Sesame Street, and then middle of the night, it seemed, you get moved to Idaho. I couldn't imagine that, but yeah, Troy was great. I'll put all the links so you can check her out in the episode notes. But man, she was so cool to talk to. Troy, if you're listening to this, thank you so much for taking the time. I hounded her so much because I really wanted to talk to her about her career. I'm so happy that she said yes. So now your homework, all right? I hope you got your pen and paper. Write your homework down, because if you don't write it down, you're going to forget. And it's to watch Weekend at Bernie's 2. It's got to be somewhere. We only found that it's on Amazon Prime right now to buy, but I'm sure you'll be able to find it somewhere. It's got to be on some network. Who doesn't love that movie? It's Weekend at Bernie's 2. So check it out. Subscribe, review, rate, share our podcast. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. Don't forget to follow us on all social media at SequelsOnly. And check out our new website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.